Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.
My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines, and we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy every week on the Voice of Wrestling Network.
Do you like wrestling trivia? Then check out the 5-Star Match Game, the Pro Wrestling Quiz Show. I'm Joe Gagne, and every episode, I grill 3 contestants with 5 rounds of power-packed wrestling trivia. We have over 30 evergreen episodes in the archives covering WWE, AEW, Japan, Mexico, and much, 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 much more. Play along at home and check it out today.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Rob McCarron.
Hashtag authority. Hashtag Steph Bouncy. Hashtag SmackDown 15.
Jeff Hawkins.
You done digging that hole?
You're listening to Shake Them Ropes with Rob McCarron and Jeff Hawkins.
Dance on your grave, dirt sheet writer.
Hey, kids, do you like pro wrestling? Well, we like pro wrestling, too. This week in the news, Andrade may be gone for a while. The Lazy River Wrestling Criticism, a Wrestle Dream preview, and not sure if we have time for Vader Club, but Rob is insistent, so it's going to be Mankind versus Kane, Hell in the Cell from 1998 Raw.
Hell yeah.
This is Shake Them Ropes. I am Jeff Hawkins, and reintroducing to a lot of you, the originator of the show, Rob McCarron. Hello, Rob.
Yeah, I started this thing. So if you're still with us, I mean, all power to you. Because what, this was 10 years ago? This was a decade ago about when we started, 2015, 2016?
2014.
2014 even. Yes. Oh, my gosh. Yep. Yeah. Okay, well, it's been going. I've missed you all. And I said, Jeff, what you need to do is fire everyone else back.
Don't do this. Don't do that, please.
I didn't say any of that.
I know.
What happened was Jeff said like 3 days ago, hey, I have an opening. Do you want to do this? And I was like, yeah, of course I do. But only for this week, because then I'm away and who knows what's going to happen.
Well,
maybe I get upset with you about something. Who knows? But hi, I'm Rob, everybody.
VOW's generous paid time off policy.
I've been on maternity leave for 8 years without having a kid. So really, I'm that waste and fraud and abuse that you always hear about.
I meant just going on vacation the week after you take a gig.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Like, it's a previously scheduled engagement.
That's
so,
true.
Like, that's not
true.
My fault.
No, I
it's not
that.
Like,
no,
it's not like I said, Jeff. Yeah, I didn't say, Jeff, hey,
right,
I'll come back.
All
and
right.
Then the next hour, I was like, let's go on vacation. Jeff, by the way, I need a week off.
No, it's fine. I got Paul Fontaine filling in next week. And he goes, oh, yeah, I remember my first memory of Rob is meeting you when you guys first started Shake Them Ropes. So,
woo-hoo.
Okay, so tell us how you got here 14 years ago in terms of making a wrestling podcast, your involvement in the wrestling industry, etc.
Do you remember what I pitched it to you as when I was like, hey, I want to do a podcast. I need help. And then I think I did a call out. Like, does anyone want to co-host one?
Yeah,
and
I did.
I'd like to.
I did. Yeah. No, it was Pardon the Interruption, but with wrestling.
I wanted to do Pardon the Interruption with wrestling. You know how long that lasted? I think we barely got through the first episode.
Or 2 weeks. 2 weeks. Yeah.
And
then we
go,
this isn't working for us at all. Yeah.
I mean, you gotta get those hot takes going real quick. Like, what do you got for me on Andrade? Okay, and you have 30 seconds.
I'm even going further back here, though. You used to do the Raw recaps for Figure Four.
They did. Yes, and I had to watch Raw every week in detail. It was horrible. And these are early 2010s Raws, by the way, kids. Like, this is CM Punk is gone. This is Justin Gabriel getting pushes. Like, this was not a great time.
And you were also a referee on the indie scene and a little bit in Ring of Honor, I believe, right?
No, I did not do Ring of Honor. IWA Mid-South was about the closest I got to that. I mean, here and there, if you pop in some mid-2000s DVDs, if you still have them, if there's a show with Drake Younger on it, you might see me.
Drake Younger, a little complicated due to some of his thoughts.
Complicated legacy, Drake Younger.
Yes.
And
you were also very active on the Ring of Honor message board, as I recall, the official one with one Tony Khan before we knew who Tony Khan was.
I didn't know it at the time. I guess I probably trolled Tony Khan every once in a while because I trolled everyone on that board. But I don't think I was trolling at the time. It turns out now in hindsight that I was trolling. So, the Ring of Honor message boards was really big into Ring of Honor. Would go to a lot of the Dayton, Chicago, Detroit shows, which is how I learned about a lot of the wrestlers who are still on TV main eventing shows today.
Yeah, and then you helped start Voices of Wrestling.
I love that you're trying to give me bona fides. Like, hey, everybody, this is Rob. He actually has a history here.
Yes, well, look, you know, the wrestling business, what they say, that the generations turn over like every 3 years or something like that. So, you've been gone for six or seven.
I've turned over like three or four times in that period because when I stopped doing the show with you, Jeff, I pretty much stopped watching wrestling in general.
Okay.
I would still kind of follow along with it every once in a while because, again, These are the Raws where like Kevin Owens would come in and it's like, okay, there might be something cool happening. I feel like there was a time where NXT was like my peak of fandom.
That was us. Yeah. We would do live
towards the end, right?
After the takeovers, like 2004, I mean, 2014, 2015, before they moved everybody up for the most part. That was when it was hot.
We went to the Takeover in Philadelphia, the Royal Rumble in Philadelphia. The Takeover was the better show.
Yes.
Obviously, the Royal Rumble was the more newsworthy show, but the Takeover was the better show. I was really big into Takeovers. I wanted to go to some of those live events. Took my wife to an NXT live event at the Marat Egyptian Room in Indianapolis for a Bayley Emma match, I want to say it was. And the main event, Sami Zayn, I think Samoa Joe was on that show. Might have been Baron Corbin. It was a triple threat. But like NXT was the thing. So when AEW started, it was like, okay, I'm all into AEW. But the problem with AEW, and we might get into this with Andrade, we might get into this going into WrestleDream. AEW is not keeping that fandom right now. So I'm back on the market, although I would consider myself now pretty much a Raw guy, like not even a WWE guy. Like I follow along to Raw. And then if I see highlights from SmackDown, that's how I know what happened on SmackDown.
Okay, yeah. No, I will sometimes use YouTube to
Friday nights, man. Friday nights when you're married. Friday nights are tough. Saturday nights are tough. Give me more of these 8 a.m. Saturday shows that I can follow along with before college football starts. And I'm like done with the WWE portion. Great.
I work East Coast hours now. So yeah, I wake up at like 5:30 anyway. So waking up, turn on the pay-per-view. I'm done by 8 or 9 and I got the rest of my weekend going, man.
What's crazy, Jeff? What's crazy for you, especially being on the West Coast, is like you talk about history and how you first got into like a New Japan Pro Wrestling, right? Or any type of Japanese promotion, watching pay-per-views that start at 2 a.m. your time. That's WWE now, half the year. That's Perth. We're going to have a premium live event from Japan at some point. You know it. There's UK events going on. There's all of the Crown Jewels and the Saudi Arabia events. WrestleMania next year. Watching at 2 a.m. like there's going to be this is what New Japan was teaching us for. It wasn't so we can all go watch New Japan World. No, they were prepping us for 2020s WWE.
Yes, 2020s. WWE.
Let's say 2000s, and like not even there. Like I was throwing, I got notes on this. I don't even know what Vader Club is, but I got notes for Vader Club.
It's just we pick an old match that we like because there's some reason that came up. So that's all we do.
I got the gist. Like I did the assignment. Now when you said old match, here's the thing. When I suggested this, because you asked me behind the scenes, it's like Vader Club. We pick an old match. We talk about it for a little bit, and then I wanted to respond, and I didn't. I just gave you a match because I didn't want to go back and forth too much. But I'm like, when he says old, like, is this AJ Styles versus Low Key from TNA, or is this like an 80s bullshit I have to come out with?
No, you'll sometimes have to deal with, if we continue it, you'll sometimes have to deal with my 80s bullshit, as you like to say.
Okay.
But because...
Okay.
Because there's stuff... So, look, your past and my past are different, so well, yes,
you said old.
Okay.
You said old, and I'm like, well, I'm going to give him a match that's almost 30 years old, and I feel like that is enough.
Yes, it is. Anyways, to the news, Andrade, figure four, has confirmed through multiple sources that the new TKO contracts have a clause where if you are fired for cause or breach, there is a 1-year non-compete. The older contracts had this, but it's standard now. So, yes. They bring in Andrade for the 6th anniversary of AEW, and oops, cease and desist letter.
This sounds like one of those UFC contracts that they've been getting away with that might not be gotten away with here, because I'm no lawyer, but like, if you're not going to pay the guy for an agreement when they're independent contractors in the first place, like even while under contract, they should be able to go work for whoever they want. And now you're not even using them or paying them, and you're going to make them wait for a year. I did not at this point get that piece. I thought it was going to be like a month, a couple of weeks, like we get your likeness off of TV or whatever. A year sounds ridiculous.
It sounds excessive, especially for that type of skill set. But I'm going to tell you what they're going to say is, well, breach is an excessive thing of the con, and I'm like, really? Because I haven't seen the contract, I'm trying to get it actually, but if you have like controlled substances in there, and I'm not gonna say that WWE management at times has encouraged people to do things to their body that might be legally shady, if you're doing that and then firing somebody for breach. I'm just saying allegedly this has happened.
It's this guy. I don't know which way you're going to be pointing on the video version, but
I think it goes side by side, but nevertheless.
I could be Ursher in that one video looking up and down and you're to my left.
I think also basically their position is one in which, oh, you want to fight this? Go get a lawyer and we'll do continuances until you're broke. Have fun with that.
Well, or he can go work the indies and whatnot, because if I'm AEW at the time, like I barely wanted him to begin with. I thought it would be a cool pop. He can do some stuff with, you know, the 30 person family that's going around on TV.
But it's not compete in sports entertainment. That's the thing. So that means he can't work in America. He could go. I think he could probably go to Mexico and work if he wanted
to. Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. So, I mean, okay. AEW is probably not going to be putting a lot of effort here. We really need Andrade on TV. it's like, oh, no. Okay, so he has a year compete. He maybe lied to us about that. Like, we don't know if he was being legit with us or he didn't know or what was going on. But he was already, people were like, would he go back to AEW? That's why his return was such a big moment, right? It's like, will he go back to AEW? Is he worth the trouble? Well, after all this, probably not. I've been a big Andrade fan. We talk about TakeOver in Philadelphia, right?
Oh, that dude, like, was over like Rover there.
I mean, Andrade, what was it? Because it was Adam Cole, Aleister Black, right? It was Andrade, Johnny Gargano? Yeah.
Johnny Gargano. This was peak NXT Rebel Heart Johnny
Yeah,
Gargano.
But either way, I mean, Andrade was a superstar. Aleister was a superstar. Adam Cole, all these guys. And that show was great. Andrade, I've been a fan ever since then, even with the small stuff that he's been doing. But yeah, I don't know if he's gonna fight this, so be it. I mean, already, if they really wanted to fight the independent contractor contracts, they would probably win, and they haven't done that. So fighting this for one guy... especially when, yeah, they would throw all the money at him because, you know, from one side, it's just about Andrade, right? But from TKO's side, it's about everybody, UFC, yes. WWE, everyone on their side. So yeah, they're going to really try to protect everything.
It's sports entertainment company, fighting companies, and something else. I read the Fightful has the language in it.
Yeah, I love how Jeff Hawkins said, because you're putting the reporter cap on, which you have the cap on. I don't, because I am no longer ashamed that this is just a podcast for white, balding 40-year-olds, 50-year-olds. I ate my cap that I had.
I ate the one cap that I had. There's the joke. Okay.
Yep. So... I'm not going to be lawyering up, but you, however, are like, I'm efforting to find this contract. I'm going to find it.
Well, I used to work in law for years, so it's interesting.
No, I know. So you have those avenues. I'm just saying, Jeff Hawkins is on the beat, everybody. He's on the beat.
NXT releases happened late last week as well. Ridge Holland, injured at a TNA taping, says he can't work for 6 months, but his rehab will be paid for.
Yeah.
More contract stuff. Also, of note, Wes Lee, Stevie Turner, and Lance Inouye were also cut. So
and
it's one of those things where...
Inouye, get it right.
I don't know. I'm just... I've lost your audio here, though, Rob.
You've lost my audio? Why would you lose my audio? You should be looking for it.
Yeah, so as I was saying, Ridge Holland, Wes Lee, late of the Rascals in TNA. I assume he may have a reunion back there going. I don't know. Stevie Turner, who was NXT UK, and then a member of the Samoan Dynasty, are your heavy things. Now, look, if I'm under 6'3" and 250 pounds, I'm not signing with WWE anyways, but how Wes Lee did, and then they got Javon Evans in there in NXT. So it's like one of those things where we have a type. And Carmelo Hayes isn't exactly knocking him dead on the main roster either.
There's just a lot of people is the thing. And now I love that WWE brings in a whole bunch of folks, right? Mm-hmm. They bring a whole lot of bodies in and they're going to see who rises above.
Yes.
And then you're going to have a bunch of superstars or a bunch of stars on all these different levels. So when you do that, though, you're going to make quick exits for the people who are not rising above. And that's everyone that they released. Everyone that they released is not quickly rising above. So be it. I mean, as a fan, like, yes, there's always a thing if you don't want people to lose their jobs. But when you are going into that job, you are knowing what's going on when there's 30 people per tryout class that are getting signed all at once. You're not going to all of a sudden put 30 new people on TV. Right?
Right.
There's going to be large cuts every once in a while of the folks who are not making it in WWE's eyes. Maybe they go somewhere else. Maybe they come back at some point. Maybe they keep going with this business. Who knows? But they got a lot of names there in NXT.
But the top names here, like Wes Lee's been in that system for 5 years. You know that he's probably not going to be.
Right.
That guy, you know, and you're
he's
like
not going to be, he's not to the point where Zachary Wentz came in and people liked him more for the quick shots he did. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, well, why are we pushing Wes Lee when there's other stars that are kind of in the same gimmick and same range that would be better? Let's just sign these guys when their TNA deals come up. And that's why we keep TNA close. Eventually, like if TNA keeps this partnership going and WWE gets in the game of where they're either buying TNA or they're helping them with TV deals or any of that stuff, you know, who knows what 2026 will look like, because who could have guessed what 2025 was going to look like? But maybe that is where, you know, they tried to do this with Evolve. They tried to do this with LFG and all these other programs. It's like you start to push where developmental and where you get your talent really from. That's where you push it. And then NXT becomes like more of a true third brand as far as television revenue. Because if I'm WWE, if I'm TKO, that's what I want from this deal that they have with CW right now, is to get NXT, a third viable brand, to maybe get the hundreds of millions eventually from a Netflix, or to add it to the Netflix deal, or to put it on ESPN.
CW is not a bad contract for them, because I mean, they're getting the highest rating.
It's not now. It's not now, but if you could make it more,
yes,
I mean, let's look
more
at AEW, right? Let's look at AEW and the hundreds of millions they're getting for TV over the course of their history and business. And like, that's what they want for NXT maybe eventually, right? So let's keep it to the stars. We don't have place for the hey, we might need to repackage you and see what you could do. We don't got time for that anymore. We're trying to make the CW show into our viable third brand. And people have been talking, we've talked on this show for 10 years, you know, outside of my short break from the show. We've been talking about NXT being that viable third brand forever. And this seems like the true strategy of getting it that way. Independent TV deal, maybe add it to one of these big multi-deals at some point and start having the pay-per-view events. You know, TakeOver 2025 edition, where there are these true premium live events on their own premium live agreement with Peacock. We'll see how far that goes. We'll see if they continue to push it. But 5 years in quote unquote developmental and really not getting over even there. I don't see you bringing Wesley to Raw or SmackDown. So where else do you put him? Put him back on the indies, see if he can make a name for himself. And if they really want him back, they'll have to pay more for him.
Kinosuke to Takeshita, your new IWGP heavyweight champion, beating Zack Sabre Jr.
Good. I mean, this guy has been fire for 2 years, and honestly, AEW is killing his momentum, so I'm glad he can go somewhere and maybe prop that territory up, New Japan, because Takeshita is awesome. Every time he goes out there for 20-minute matches with anyone, he's putting out bangers. Now, I don't need to see him doing 20-minute matches with Mark Briscoe or those types anymore. In fact, for AEW, if you're watching, and I know you're not watching me, nor would you care what I have to say, I don't need every match to go 20 minutes. If Claudio was going to beat Roderick Strong, you probably should have just done it in 10. Yes. Like, I don't need every match to go 20. You want to give Claudio a big win, and you think beating Roderick Strong in 20 minutes on TV is that big win because we haven't been focused on him? No, beating him in 5 would have been a good way to start. Who are we talking about?
I'm
so glad he won. Yeah,
I really wanted to see him and Okada as just a getting along, badass, giant, big dude tag team before we started doing the John Callis likes him better. Stuff.
Everything Don Callis I can do away with. I like Don Callis. And I liked when it was the small, but why does he need 30? What are we going to eventually do here with 30 people in the group? You're going to have 15 of them turn on him and turn on other members, and no one's going to care because they were B-team. Just the 15th member.
And Don Callis B team. Come on.
Yeah. For what?
No reason. For what? He's the only guy who can get any heat on this show other than MJF.
Well, that's a star problem. And I saw this clip. I saw this clip of who's the one who does something to wrestle. Conrad, right?
Conrad
was on with Tony Schiavone, and talking about, you know, top guys and whatnot. I don't remember the context to it, and it's really not a point about Conrad and Tony Schiavone. It's more of a point of AEW. Is like, oh, we have so many stars, we have so many main event talents, and like you don't.
Yeah.
And all the ones that you have are injured right now. You got Kenny Omega barely. Like, honestly, Kenny Omega people call to as being like, well, AEW's fine. They got Kenny Omega. He's a top guy. Like, he hasn't been ever. Literally ever here in the United States has he been a top guy. And yes, you built the promotion around him, but he has not been a top guy. Never in Ring of Honor, never here in AEW. As far as a true top guy that can go out there and be the baby face of all baby faces, Will Ospreay. Great in the ring, promo wise. Does he get you into the match, or does he actually hinder it? You want to see it because it's Will Ospreay,
right?
But then you hear him talk for so long, saying "bruh," I love "bruv," like I love it. I'm like, God, just get someone else out here or get the match going. But you can't always push it just to matches. I'm like, how into Jack Swagger did we get during the Real Americans? And it wasn't because of his matches. How epic has Chad Gable been? And like, yes, Chad Gable, awesome in the ring. But it wasn't until he started getting television time to show the personality that people started caring. You have to have the personality drive how interest in the matches gets happening. And like AEW ain't doing that. They're just hoping for the best. And now that AEW Dark is basically half of Dynamite now, like you think that's progression? That we turn Dynamite into half of AEW Dark?
Yeah, I the clarion call was always, I remember Dave Meltzer was going on some rant about, you know, the problems with AEW television. Tony texted him back and asked if he enjoyed the matches. And you're just like, okay, that's where the divide is right there.
It is because I don't want to watch the 2 hours of the matches anymore.
Neither do right? I so, want to see heat. I want to see personality. I want to see angles. I want to see other things.
I want to see the matches because you've made me want to see the matches. Like I'm hyped for some of these. Like, yeah, I might be a WWE guy again where it's like, oh, WWE is the best and I love this cookie cutter or whatever. But God, if every CM Punk match isn't like hyped going into it.
True.
Right. And you think that's just because you keep him off of TV for a month and say CM Punk's going to wrestle whoever. Akira Tozawa versus CM Punk tonight. That's a dream match, right? No. Like, no, I don't want to see 20 minutes of it.
Yeah, true.
I don't want to. It wouldn't be that interesting, Jeff. That was a lie. It would not be that interesting. But maybe if you give us a reason over time, because, God, Akira Tozawa versus Chad Gable. Well, I'll see that. Okay. And there was 4 weeks of build to it. It doesn't have to be these guys are going to wrestle in 4 weeks. Let's then build to it. No. You do the build when people don't even know you're building to something. And then the match happens. You're like, God, I'm so glad they made this match. And we caused that because we were into it. No, you were into it because they had the idea and they made you go into it.
A couple of injuries before we go into Lazy River. Seth Rollins may need shoulder surgery. I have surgery shoulder here. My word.
Sugar soldier?
Yes. Shoulder surgery. And Kota Ibushi broke his femur at the Collision taping last week, said on his Instagram he's going to be rehabbing for a year, hopes to be back in the ring in 2 years.
Yeah, no, he's going to be out for a while, most likely. But part of that could be too. It's like, it's not like he's been a regular in AEW. It's not like he's been a regular anywhere really. So, Kota Ibushi maybe taking his time, see if he really wants to do it anymore. He's older than I am, I believe.
The femur takes a long time to heal.
Well, it takes a super long time. And how quickly are you going to be really sure that you're ready to do everything you were doing?
Right. Right. Yeah. I don't
think. And maybe never.
I don't think. I mean,
we'll see. I don't know if he's coming back into AEW, but
possibly too. I mean, he may do a one shot in 3 or 4 years. I could see that.
But the thing is, if I told you right now, let's call it 18 months from now, his big return match in AEW was happening in the main event of a Collision, you would believe it. And that's part of the problem with AEW right now, because you would believe, I don't know how this, I don't really want to bet AEW Wednesday nights. I look super forward to Dynamite. I still watch them. I wish they were better. I wish the programs were better. I wish they didn't have 6 injured stars. I wish Adam Cole was on TV. I wish Daniel Bryan was still around. I wish all these things. Kota Ibushi coming back on a Collision would not shock me, because that's how important they build some things. Like, tell me you would be shocked if his return match in AEW was against like Claudio on a Collision.
No, not at all. It would not shock me. It wouldn't shock me if it's even somebody lower than Claudio. It's like, Kota Ibushi is returning. He's going to be fighting, you know, Tony Nese of the Varsity Athletes.
Right. And it would be on Ring of Honor. It would be one of the featured matches on like a Death Before Dishonor.
Yeah,
I have no idea what's going on in Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor, a company, like, he can't be making money on Ring of Honor. It's strictly for vanity, and it shouldn't be around because it's hurting your overall product for everything.
On this week's Ring of Honor, Shannon Moore is having a match.
I saw a picture of Shannon Moore. Yeah, WCW, WCW's greatest export, Shannon Moore.
All right. Yeah. Lazy River of Wrestling Criticism, whatever we had time for, whatever's on our mind. Ice cold takes on Crown Jewel Perth. I think there's only really one question here, although I really love the women's match quite a lot in terms of the tag match between Io and Rhea versus the Kabuki Warriors. But
yeah,
the dividing line seems to be, did you like the AJ Styles versus Cena match, or did you find it derivative?
I saw Jonathan Snowden's take that this wasn't really a wrestling match. This was an homage. This was 15 minutes of them, you know, signing off from wrestling business, but it wasn't really a match. No one wanted to win. No one really struggled for any type of advantages. And we're like, bro, like, there's so many different types of wrestling matches, mm-hmm. and that's okay if it wasn't your type. But calling it not a pro wrestling match when for a lot of people, this is every main event of WrestleMania, right? Like when they just, it's 5 minutes and then they just go into the reversals. This was every ROH main event when Tyler Black was back there teaming up with the guys. I thought it was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. I had fun and it looked like they were having fun. And that made me enjoy it a lot more. Yeah.
It's his second to third last match, and we're straw manning here because we're absolutely just saying, oh, people didn't like it, so let's tell them why they were wrong. Most people, I think, did enjoy this. I saw so many, you know, on the Twitters, on all the different types of platforms, people were highlighting just all the fun they had. Yeah, that you get the references. To me, it wasn't even about getting the references. It's like, I feel like wrestlers should do this more. Why not just every move that you have, once you build up to it, sure, maybe you wear down a leg or something, maybe you wear down an elbow or an arm, and then use every single finisher that attacks that. Why Joe Hendry's doing this, right? Does Joe Hendry look like a guy who should be using a choke slam as a finisher? But you know what works? The choke slam. So use it. Kevin Owens going out there, I should use the stunner. It's the greatest finisher in history. Yeah. You know who else should be using the stunner? Everybody. Now, of course, for marketing purposes, for keeping the show different, everyone's got to have different moves. But if this were reality and you start talking about what is and what isn't a match to try and win something and to fight for something, what you're really arguing is that everyone should use the same moves because everyone knows they work. Does that sound logical?
Yes, it does. I don't know how much in the bubble
you've been
in terms
of... sound logical.
I don't know how much of the wrestling Twitter bubble you've been, or social media bubble. You might be a blue sky guy. I don't know.
I'm not a blue sky guy. Twitter is, I used to have Twitter in a folder and now it's Prime on the screen. I'm probably even more into it than I was before. Okay, I have not seen a Voices of Wrestling post in forever. Are they still around?
Yes.
I literally have not.
But there were a lot of arms crossed going, well, if this were an AEW, you guys would be trashing this.
If it were an AEW, it would be the first thing people were talking about, finally,
yeah,
from AEW.
Probably. I'm agree. I did enjoy that.
What are we talking about right now with AEW, right? We're talking about, is Chris Jericho going to leave? We're talking about what's going on with Andrade and his story is WWE related. What are we actually... no one thinks Samoa Joe is going to win this weekend, do they?
No.
Right? And Adam Page, love Adam Page. I want to watch Adam Page stuff. I want to watch MJF stuff. Have no idea what MJF is doing on this pay-per-view. We'll probably go into it. Oh, he's not. Okay.
He's not. Well, I think he's on his honeymoon. I don't know.
Well, then there you go. And that's part of the problem. Like, yes, I get it. A lot of their stars are out. Adam Cole, Will Ospreay, and MJF, Swerve, among others. Swerve Strickland, who's great. I love everything Swerve Strickland does, so I can't wait to see him back on TV. Jon Moxley, I love the idea of Jon Moxley, but I'm not really a fan of him just brooding for the last 10 months, 12 months. Really, ever since Punk left, right? Like, Jon Moxley's been the same guy ever since Punk left, and Punk leaving killed the momentum with what they were doing with the world title. I get it. But Jon Moxley, I think people want to be interested in his stuff, and they're just doing everything possible to make me not interested in his stuff. Of course, you know, of course, that Darby Allin, if he never wrestled again and was way up from TV, I'd be the happiest guy ever. So there's just a lot of stuff there that are keeping me away. But to the original point, which I don't know what it was, John Cena and AJ Styles was excellent. And it got people talking, which is what you want to do. It made the live crowd happy, which is what you want to do. It entertained people. What's coming next? John Cena's going away. Let the guy who spent 20 years in the ring have some fun for us.
I had my thought was, you are aware of the old supergroup, the Traveling Wilburys, right?
I am, of course, and I introduced my wife to them recently, too, because she was asking me to play some Tom Petty songs. I'm like, I'll play some Tom Petty songs for you.
Okay, so my comparison was, if Jeff Lynne and Bob Dylan, the only two remaining alive members of the Wilburys, went on tour and they played all the other songs from the guys who were known from the Traveling Wilburys. That was my thought on the match, and I enjoyed it. I thought it was cool, but I do get Snowden's criticism of it. But at the same time, it didn't have to be what you wanted it to be. It could have been what John wanted it to be. A love letter to opponents he's not going to be able to face anymore. So I'm cool with it.
They're the ones telling the story. And in my mind, I'm like, okay, he had an idea that he wanted to hit this move. How not in reality does someone do that? Like if I went into a fight and I was like, I want to land a right hook, I'm going to land a right hook. I may not land everything else and I may not win, but if I go in with an idea, I'm going to do it. And if it fits, it fits. I mean, he got AJ Styles to the ropes. He got AJ Styles to the ropes. Why not do, hey, perfect opportunity for my 619 attempt, right? It didn't work. That's the thing too. It's not like everything worked either. These guys were telling the story of, yeah, we want to pay tribute because guess what? John Cena wrestled all these guys. He's not just paying an homage. He's like, I learned that these moves hurt. Let me try hitting them on AJ Styles.
I'm not going to do a match by match preview of Wrestle Dream. So this is a lazy river. Go where you want.
What's the biggest thing to you on Wrestle Dream outside?
It's Darby Allin and Moxley I Quit match because it's basically two guys who won't say I quit. So I'm figuring they're going to overbook this and figure out something that's really going to.
Well, for sure they are. But I'll tell you one thing. I'm not going to watch this match. I can't. I have a very quick. Well, it's going to be gross. I have not been able to watch any of the gross John Moxley matches, which sucks because I like John Moxley. They are too gross. You are doing shit that should not be happening on television, that should not be happening to them, period. They are too gross and graphic for me. I get a lot of fans of horror movies and shoot 'em ups and all the different types of graphic types of movies. You might be easier to find these and easier to watch these. I am not. I have a very quick gag reflex. I am squeamish. I cannot watch this. I will not watch it. Going in, you can tell me they end up just doing fucking shoulder drops and back drops the entire match. You can tell me that. Won't believe you because there's no way. There's no way that's going to happen. It's probably going to be the longest match of the night. Knowing what the card is, I can see that being the longest match of the night because Samoa Joe and Adam Page aren't going 30 minutes, right? And I can easily see this overbooked madness with Darby Allin going 30 plus. I'm not gonna watch it. To me, the most interesting thing on the show is Samoa Joe, Adam Page. Get Adam Page a big win and see who his next challenger is. Maybe they shock the world and Samoa Joe wins. I can't imagine. Second place, Young Bucks versus Jurassic Express. Young Bucks are coming back into their own. Got a couple of different stories here. You know, are they rich? Are they not rich? This match is apparently a $500,000 match. So will Jurassic Express win? And then what do they do with the money? Do the Young Bucks win? What do they do with the money? Do they lose it again? Do they hire someone to be part of their group and go after other, you know, larger groups? Who knows? Or maybe they just win money and no one ever talks about it again because Top Flight did that. And it lasted 2 weeks.
I do a second podcast, basically deconstructing Dynamite. We go about live about 20 minutes after.
You have been two timing on our podcast that I've built and been together for 10 years.
Hey, I did Fightful while we were doing this podcast. Thank you very much.
I saw that.
You did Fightful while we were doing this podcast for a while.
Yeah, he hasn't invited me back. I don't know why that is.
I don't know either. I'll ask. but Darby and Moxley, we're talking about this, and Moxley has to lose this match. But it's also one of those things where I'm like, that's the problem, and they're going to try and figure out a way around it, possibly for like a loser leaves AEW match, because now it's become about corporate fealty again and how much I love working for AEW. And it's like, oh, God, no, have Moxley quit. Just have him quit. And then have the Death Riders turn on him for losing.
Well, that's the thing too. They learn from him, right? They never got to build up. They turned on Daniel Bryan. They had the match. Daniel Bryan went away. Great. Pac is back. Let's see if maybe Pac takes a step up and does some more meaningful matches here and there than just being the third guy in that group with Yuta being the fourth. What comes out of that match is interesting to me, but I will not watch the actual match. So when you start talking about that way, right, it's like I'm not inclined to buy the pay-per-view. I'm inclined to see Dynamite on Wednesday and have them recap what happened for me. And then we'll see if they even make it on the show. because it might be so gross that they keep Moxley and Darby Allin off for a week or two, and then we just get whatever their next program is. Maybe they keep going. You know, Darby saying that he thinks every day about joining John and the Death Riders.
That's stupid. I just like what? No.
Why? You've always been the loner. Why would you start? Why are you thinking every day about joining a group that you don't even like? Like, what are you talking about?
In a group that has lost its complete ethos in terms of we're changing this business because it needs to be more serious. And then they're hanging around the Young Bucks who are doing casino bits and stuff like that.
I mean, John Moxley said it's not your company anymore. And no, it is. It's their company. Again, because you guys aren't in the title picture, you're fighting over what? You're just fighting Darby Allin over really nothing at all.
Corporate office. Edge. This corner office.
Yeah, Adam Copeland is gone. Like, that's another star that you have out. Like, what is he gone for? Just to be off TV? Okay. Which kills everything Christian, because Christian had a story. Obviously, Luchasaurus is away from him now. What is Christian doing? Is he going to continue the dad gimmick? Is he just going to try to find something else to do? FTR has been floating around because you don't want to put him in the title picture truly right now. Hurt Business, interesting. Gates of Agony, you want to build up other people? Great. I'm not super interested in a Gates of Agony.
Hurt Syndicate may be on their way out, and I can never tell because that was the rumor, and now...
Well, I'm not trying to tell, right? What happens on TV, fine.
Yeah.
I want to see what happens on TV with them.
Okay.
There's a lot of good with AEW. There's some dramatic bads that make me less interested in not just the pay-per-views, but watching their TV in general. Collision is a nothing show. It's literally AEW Dark.
This has been my kind of stalking horse for a while on AEW, is that I find Adam Page to be a weak champion because his personality is such...
He's timid.
That, yeah, he's timid, and he has to rely on whoever he's fighting to bring the personality and the heat to a feud.
Because he doesn't fire up unless being wronged in some big way.
Unless you call him a fraud, and then it clicks in that, oh, I'm no fraud, I'll fight you right now.
Yeah, but you know what that is? That's being a fraud, because it's not you. It's being a fraud.
Actually, that's an exact on-the-nose point, because they put him on commentary, and the whole point of him being out there to be on commentary is to hype this match.
Who's quieter on commentary? Is it Brian or is it Adam Page? Because Adam Page really was going for that title the other night. And so excuse me, gentlemen. And you don't have to be like tough bravado guy or whatever. Just be the quiet champion who's going to beat everyone up. But you're not really looking for fights. The fights you are picking like are stupid fights a lot of the times because you don't have really that anger, you don't have that outward personality. I like Adam Page. I don't like the finishing move. The finishing move is stupid, but it's been stupid for a decade. Some finishers, by the way, are just stupid. They're just going to be stupid. It's okay. Not everything can be a stunner.
My point is, I mean, everything about the logic of this match was dumb, because it was like, oh, you know, Joe's mad that he threw a title at him or something. And it was just like, okay, great, I get it. But on the other hand, it's like you're out there on commentary to literally, with your mouth, hype this fight. Why are you fighting Joe? What are you doing? And Excalibur puts it on a tee for him and goes, are you seeing any weaknesses you might be able to use in this match? Nope.
No, Samoa Joe's the best. He's pretty strong. Yeah.
I went, he's just out here for the, Joe's looking longingly at the belt and then hands it back to Adam Page. I just went, oh, God. It's not even about the belt with Joe. Joe just wants to tell you he's the baddest boy on the block right now, and he makes me believe it. I love Samoa Joe in this feud. It's Adam Page that is just like, well, we should be friends right now. And then, you're a fraud. No, I'm not a fraud. You can't tell that to me. They're getting all emotional about it. It's like, okay, great. He's an emo cowboy. That's really going to draw viewers.
I mean, if he wants to be that, he's just got to be that. your opponent to be that, though, can't be Samoa Joe. Like, Samoa Joe is the tough guy. Samoa Joe, if he was beating up Adam Page, because Samoa Joe has to be a babyface right now, right? So it's very awkward going into this match, because if Samoa Joe was heel Samoa Joe, he would literally be pummeling Adam Page from out of nowhere every single week. And this whole thing could work that much better. But because you're writing it that Samoa Joe is going in there as the good guy, he just focused on the title, doesn't really care to kill Adam Page. He's not going to kill him because he doesn't want to kill him. Right. And Adam Page is going to win. And then where does he go next? Maybe a returning MGF. Maybe they do the Kenny Omega program. Cause like, is Kenny Omega going to do something important anytime soon? Like, he's just literally third wheeling these days. And I know we can't wrestle all the time, but use those matches to mean something. Why is he not your Roman Reigns at this point?
Can I be the guy to suggest this? I'm going to suggest this. I think the Ops should turn heel during this match. And then his next opponent should be Hobbs. I think you got to get Hobbs in there as a badass to just beat the crap out of this cowboy for a while.
Yeah, maybe. But I mean, to me, Will Hobbs is just doing the Samoa Joe program again.
Yeah.
With Will Hobbs.
That's true.
Yeah. So that would be my one problem with that.
What do you think of the Braun Bronson turn?
So it was out of nowhere. I was not I was not watching Raw live that day, so I did hear about it.
7 in the morning, West Coast time.
Yeah, 8 a.m. Yeah, 8 a.m., 9 a.m. Eastern. I was not watching it live, so I saw a bunch of stuff, but it made me interested. They've been kind of playing it up. You know, there's a lot of news reports, right, that they weren't going to do this till much later, the injury, whatever. They were still on this road eventually, so it's not like it really just came out of nowhere. Right. Braun's the man. Like, mm-hmm. Braun is going to be the guy here at some point in the future. He's hilarious. He's not nervous at all. He commands the moment. Like, this guy has all the best parts of Scott Steiner, with a lot of good parts of Rick Steiner.
Yes.
And a lot of good parts of Goldberg. And like, this guy, people are behind him. When he starts running to do a spear, people are ready for it. People are ready for the twitch he does. He's gotten twitching over, which is something that Jon Moxley has never been able to do. So see what he can do. See what he can do by himself. See what he can do going into WrestleMania, because I would not be shocked. Let's see what Seth Rollins' injury comes back. Maybe it's Seth Rollins and Braun at WrestleMania. Big deal. Who knows? Let's see what CM Punk is going to be involved with now, because CM Punk now is going for this title shot. Do we quite know yet? Because he's the number one contender, right? We don't know if they're going to strip Seth yet.
No, we don't.
And they may not, because the way they can get around it. Now, this hurts, you know, with WrestlePalooza. This was kind of their breaking period to give Seth Rollins a break, is defending the one-on-one title. Can you really stretch that out to like January? Maybe you can. Maybe they do it Survivor Series instead of a War Games with them. Because honestly, I feel I'm kind of thinking they're going to do War Games with the Wyatt Six. And you can pivot to that. But CM Punk, does he become the champion and then he has to defend it against Seth at WrestleMania? Does he defend it against Braun because Braun screws Seth out of the title some way?
Rumble
and maybe
for the
wins
title.
The Royal Rumble? Do they do the Royal Rumble? Like, a whole bunch of ideas. There's a lot of intrigue right now, and intrigue is good, right? Intrigue keeps you watching the show to see what you are going to go on. You root for certain things. You see where the twists and turns lie. The second part of this year, the last part of this year, is going to be very interesting to see who's in the picture, who's not. I mean, LA Knight, like, I'm interested in what LA Knight's doing, because him and Jay are just going so off track while still being on track. They keep pushing each other off track. So at some point they're going to have to go one-on-one truly to see who can finally like make the next step. There's a lot of interesting stuff going on here, and I'm all in for it.
Okay. Let me add a story twist here, and you can tell me if it stinks or if it's cool. Because there's a part of this vision thing that hasn't been brought up in a while. What if Becky Lynch were behind the attack?
No, I honestly think Becky Lynch is kind of out of it now. She did the angle with AJ. They go off on their own separate thing, and she's not Vision. Like, it's AJ, it's Becky, and maybe they do something together, and it's just confined to them. This is the Paul Heyman Braun and Bronson story. Okay. Eventually, they'll probably turn on each other, because guess what? In reality, they're kind of going after the same things. They're not here to be tag team champions, right? They're here to be top guys. And Bronson just took out the top guy. right? Like Braun started it, but Bronson took him out. He's done it before. At some point, they are going to collide, and it's going to be interesting. How far does that happen down the road? We'll see. Do they want to keep them as a tandem, or does Paul start maybe whispering in each one's ear? And then he has to make the choice of who really is going to be the next top guy. Like, is Bronson my new Brock Lesnar? Is Braun my new Brock Lesnar? That's where I see them going with this. I'm up for the ride no matter what they do. But eventually he's going to be whispering and giving advice to both of them. And that advice is going to lead them on a road to each other. So we'll see what happens there.
Okay, so Vader Club, you have selected from Raw 1998.
Oh, it's a big one.
Versus Kane on a Hell in the Cell, which was kind of a big deal, kind of a stunt thing for a Raw.
It was a stunt thing for Raw. So this was Hell in a Cell 4. This was the fourth one.
Right.
So clearly this was the first one on Raw, right?
Right.
It was not.
It wasn't?
Hell in a Cell 2 was on Raw as War. Hell in a Cell 2 happened, it was The Undertaker and Steve Austin versus the Mankind.
Yeah.
And Kane. Mankind and Kane were the WWF Tag Team Champions at the time of Hell in a Cell 4. They were the Tag Team Champions heading into SummerSlam. They were doing the whole collusion angle with The Undertaker and Kane. Now, I'll tell you why, Jeff, I picked this match, right? WWE's YouTube channel, which is the new WWE Network. WWE's YouTube channel has been doing for 15, 16 days now the Monday Night Wars live stream. Okay. So for 15, 16 days straight, 24/7, you could go watch. They were basically running down from 96 all the way to, like, I don't know when they're going to stop. Maybe it stopped. This was as of a couple days ago, so maybe it stopped by now. But going through the late 90s, showing matches from Raw and matches from Nitro. And I caught up. I saw them start doing this. I was just late at night one night. I was like, I'm going to see what's on YouTube. I'm like, oh, this live stream. And they were showing some Undertaker and some Steve Austin because they were going back and forth for the title here at this time. Steve Austin won the title on an episode of Raw. They were the main event of SummerSlam. I want to get into the SummerSlam too, because a lot of matches that were very famous happened on this show. A lot of people are going to remember. And they were like, oh, that happened on that SummerSlam? Oh, my gosh. But yeah. The New Age Outlaws were the number one contenders for the tag team titles. Their opponents were wrestling in a Hell in a Cell match, the Raw before SummerSlam. The match isn't much. It only goes 7 minutes. Steve Austin comes in and attacks Kane because Kane and The Undertaker, again, in collusion. They were in cahoots during this time. There were a lot of what's and ifs and, you know, do they want to go for the titles independently? Are they tag team? What are they doing? Steve Austin, obviously the big hero at the time. Steve Austin ends this match. They do some spots. It's almost like a rushed Mankind Hell in a Cell match. It's because they got thumbtacks out. They got a bunch of big bumps out, table spot. 7 minutes later, Steve Austin ends it. But they go into SummerSlam where Kane does not show up. The New Age Outlaws win the tag team titles from Mankind in a handicap match. And then Kane shows up at the end, signifying that his tag team with Mankind is officially over. And then we start getting into Mankind where he's more the goofy Mankind or more the fun-having Mankind. Right. This SummerSlam, okay, Edge and Sable versus Mark Miro and Jacqueline. Now, this isn't one of the big famous matches, but a lot of people might remember that. Do you remember the Lion's Den match?
Vaguely. It's Shamrock.
Ken Shamrock and Owen Hart. Lion's Den. Happened on the SummerSlam.
Okay.
Middle of the card. The New Age Outlaws of Mankind and Kane, as I mentioned. Do you remember the ladder match for the IC title between Triple H and The Rock?
No.
How do you not? WWE people, get him in the comments. Get him in the comments of wherever you see this video, wherever you listen to the show. His Twitter account, which I believe is follow at Shake Them Ropes. His is still Crap Game, I want to say.
Triple
H and The Rock, the match that only made Triple H and The Rock both the next big things happened on this SummerSlam. The main event, Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Undertaker. Steve Austin, champion. And then my favorite, and you'll understand why this is my favorite. Do you remember when Jeff Jarrett lost his hair?
When he got the real short haircut, or was he bald?
Yeah.
Yes.
It was a hair and hair match against X-Pac. Happened on this show. Happened on this SummerSlam. This Raw, this is the wagon I went on. It's like, I'm just looking for a YouTube to watch. Start watching YouTubes of old 1990s Raw and Nitros. Now I want to watch the SummerSlam. And I don't know where to watch it, Jeff. Is it on Peacock still? Is it on ESPN? Is it on YouTube that I can just go YouTube it and it's on YouTube from WWE? I don't know where to see it.
I think it's on Peacock. And I think if you use an international VPN, I think the archives are going over there to Netflix. So, but don't quote me on that.
Wherever you're watching or listening to this, let me know where I can watch it, because I don't want to go searching for it. I want to know. So please tell me where I can watch it.
Let me tell you something. You're going to make me want to go back and watch X-Pac versus D'Lo Brown. That match was better than it had any right to be. I love that. But, okay, cool. No, I just don't remember a lot of WWE matches, because by the time they came in, yeah, I was in my 20s. And, you know, I wasn't ever the big WWE guy, Rob.
And 1990s wrestling is too new for you. I get it. It's too new for you. It's fine.
No, I was hanging out in comedy clubs six nights a week. I couldn't help it, man.
Do you remember The Undertaker being trapped atop the cage as the cage has risen up? Do you remember this visual?
Yes, I remember.
At all?
I remember that. That was being, this, and watching Vince on. That was the Raw. That was this Raw match.
That, yeah, was this Hell in a Cell match. But yeah, Hell in a Cell 2. They debuted Hell in a Cell with Kane's big debut.
Okay,
and then,
yeah,
the second one was on Raw. They were already putting, okay, that was late 1990s wrestling, guys. The Hell in a Cell matches were on Raws. And now you might get a Stips match every third PLE. That's it. Unless you're watching AEW. Unless you're watching AEW.
Are weekly. Yeah.
No, unless you're watching AEW when a dagger to the heart match is going to happen on a fucking collision.
Thank you, Rob. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Give us your plugs.
I'm sorry. I won't be here available next week. Hopefully I can watch you guys and come back to you guys. And what would that be? Would it be November?
Yes.
Yeah. And I'll make sure to try and pick an older match. Maybe I'll go all the way back to 1996.
No, it's my turn to pick, you jerk. Oh, okay. I'll be the one to pick next. It'll be October 30th. It looks like it will be your next thing.
October. Ooh, that's like almost Halloween. So yeah, yes, the Halloween episode. We'll be back spookier than ever. Let's go watch a Boogeyman match.
Do you want to plug your Twitter or no?
If you find me on Twitter, it means you're an expert at finding me where I can watch SummerSlam 1998.
Yes.
So I need you to search for it and let me know.
Okay, you'd follow me.
I think it's Rob from Indiana, but I actually don't know.
It is Rob from Indiana, yes.
Rob from Indiana.
And you can follow just the show at Shake the Ropes, all one word, of course. I also do a show over on Fight Game Media, Paul Fontaine, about 20 minutes after Dynamite goes off the air. It's called The Dynamite Show. We thoroughly deconstruct everything AEW. And that drops into your podcatch feed for free the next morning. This has been fun. We'll see you next week.
Rest in peace, Billy Gill.
Hi, I'm Case Lowe, co-host of the Open the Voice Gate podcast. The one question I'm constantly asked when it comes to Dragon Gate is, how do I get into the promotion? Well, stop asking and start listening to the Open the Voice Gate podcast, released every Wednesday on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. For exclusive news and show reviews, look no further than the leader in Dragon Gate coverage, Open the Voice Gate.
Hello, Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network listeners. I am Jeff Hawkins, co-host of Shake Them Ropes, with a very special announcement. If it's been a while or you've never listened to us before, the original gang is back. Myself and Rob McCarron, back talking wrestling. We have no idea where this show's going to go, where we're going to keep any of the old bits or any of the old things in there. It's going to be a process. It's going to be a journey, and we'd like for you to come along with us, only on Shake Them Ropes on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network.